Thank you. We'll open with an invocation by Member Salner, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
Almighty Father, thank you for this opportunity to come together this morning. We ask for your love and guidance. Please help us serve you and the citizens of McLean County. Guide us to make wise decisions. Give us patience in these trying times. We also pray in this holiday season you give mercy and compassion to those in need, and help us to give of our time and resources to those less fortunate. Watch over our troops wherever they may be stationed, and give them comfort. Finally, we ask you bless us with patience in dealing with others with differing views. Let us find common ground and work together. We pray our efforts are pleasing to you. Amen.
Clerk, please call the roll.
Segubiano.
Here.
Soldner.
Here.
Wendt.
Present.
Wohlrab.
Here.
Ahart. Bostic.
Here.
Butler.
Here.
Casely.
Here.
Cavallini.
Here.
Gordon.
Here.
Hasselton.
Here.
McIntyre.
Here.
Moss.
Present.
Knuckles.
Here.
O'Connor.
Present.
Owens.
Present.
Rakowskis.
Here.
Rankin.
Here.
Renner.
Here.
Sorensen.
Present. 19 members present. We have a quorum. We do have a request from members of the public. I'd like to ask Chief Judge Ropp to the microphone to introduce our speaker. Up here to the right.
Thank you. First of all, I would very much like to thank the County Board for giving us this opportunity to speak with you this morning briefly. Some of you know, well, all of you know, because you've supported the drug court for the last several years, and I think we've been before you a couple of times to talk about the successes that we're experiencing with the drug court. There's a movement in the United States to provide to the citizens involved in the court system what are called specialty courts to really hone in on attacking special issues that individuals have. And one of the efforts that Judge Foley and I have been working on the past several years is to try and bring a mental health court to McLean County. Judge Foley and I attended, and others in the room, I think Bill Yoder and Kim Campbell as well, attended a symposium this summer. It was the second one in Illinois up in DuPage County, and I had the pleasure of meeting Jan Holcomb, who's from Lilly USA, which supports what are called community conversations. And last month, we brought in a woman by the name of Suzanne Clifford from Indiana. She at one point was the director of substance abuse and mental health services in the state of Indiana to talk about what our community can do to help bring together all of the parts that we need to bring together in order to provide a better system of service to those individuals involved in the criminal courts who have mental illness. And today, our second community conversation, which is being sponsored by Lilly USA, we have the pleasure of having Leon Evans, who has single-handedly, I believe, and starting from nothing, I understand, which is where we are here in this in McLean County, developed a system of service and care and treatment to the citizens of Bower, correct?
Bear.
Bear County. It doesn't look the way it sounds, in San Antonio. And Leon has become a national expert on how communities can bring together all of the department heads, agencies, the courts, and the social service agencies for two purposes. The first is public safety for all of our citizens, and the second is to try and break the cycle where we have persons who are mentally ill, who go into the jail, who are stabilized and released out in the community, decompensate again, come back into the jail. They become very expensive users of all of our services. And so we're trying to find a way to better utilize services, better utilize tax dollars in an effort to try and provide hope and a better way of dealing with mentally ill persons who are involved with the criminal justice system. So I very much appreciate today you giving the opportunity to Leon to talk with you briefly, and then we're down to Illinois Wesleyan, where about 45 community leaders are talking about how we can bring this about in McLean County. Thank you. Leon.
Thank you, Judge. Mr. Chairman and honorable members, I love your weather. I'm from Texas, and it's hotter than hell there all the time. So, and you can see that I'm well insulated. Plus, I have family in Illinois, and my wife was born here in the Lido area, so I have fond connections to Illinois. And when NACO had its convention here a few years ago, I actually spoke there in two different sessions. So I don't know if any of you were there. But, the biggest mental health facility in your county and in every county in the United States is your county jail. You know, there's lots of research about this because people are starting to figure out, and by the way, I'm on NACO's board and NACO's Justice Committee, and I visit with sheriffs and county commissioners and people like yourselves from all of the United States, and they're all upset the fact that you have nonviolent mentally ill people who deserve and should be treated taking up space for violent offenders, costing taxpayers a ton of money, and not getting treated and being in that, you know, vicious revolving door and vicious cycle. So what we've been able to do in Bexar County with little or no money to start with is bring community leaders together to start addressing this issue. And today we have a phenomenal array of services. We ran lots of federal grants. The state of Texas took our data on diversion and took it back to the legislature and got funded what they call crisis redesign dollars or mental health crisis dollars for them, persons with mental illness, because the Texas prison system was also filling up with inappropriate people. In fact, the Texas prison system developed a branch called the Texas Commission on Offenders with Medical and Mental Impairments, and they actually, not the mental health system in Texas, but the criminal justice system in Texas, pays me to treat these people. So they identify these folks in prison who shouldn't be there with severe mental illness, and they put them on parole. And a condition of their parole is they've got to see our psychiatrist, take their medication, do an alcohol or drug screen if so ordered, and generally stay in compliance with treatment. Well, you all know that revocation rates for people on parole 3 to 5 years out are 30% to 60%. If you have a mental illness on top of that, it's much higher. Well, guess what it is when these people actually get treated? It's less than 10%. Most of that are technical revocations. In other words, they forget to see their probation officer, because of their mental illness, they have a hard time managing their lives anyway. So very few of these people get rearrested. So my point is, treatment works. We divert about 800 people a month in Bexar County that used to go to jail, emergency rooms, or stay homeless on the streets. So I'm proud to be here. I'd be happy to answer any questions. We have a lot of data on cost and outcomes. We've had two independent medical economists do studies, plus the state of Texas has also done studies on our program on the crisis redesign. So, I work for a county. County governments, the public safety net, I know everything runs downhill, and you guys end up being responsible with no resources. And in the future, there's just not going to be enough money at the federal level, state level, or local level to deal with this problem. So you got to find ways to integrate or blend all those revenue sources and have a local solution to the problem, or you just never will be successful. And that's what this meeting today is all about. So thank you, sir.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Mr. Evans or Chief Judge? Mr. Johns?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is there any resolutions and or information from the Justice Steering Committee that with NACO that is asking again asking federal government to assist and or is there a resolution or a report of that committee from what is working in other counties across the nation?
Yes sir, there are. In fact, NACO just had a big conference, a jail diversion conference, which we hosted in Bexar County, which we toured our programs. NACO's Justice Committee is going to be meeting there in February, I think. As far as NACO's Justice Committee and resolutions, one of the things that NACO is working on is when somebody gets put in jail, their Medicaid's taken away. Okay, so the county ends up paying for all the health care, you know, and medication costs associated with her illness. Well, the problem is you're innocent until you're proven guilty in this country, right? But you can be put in jail and summarily have your Medicaid, you know, taken away. So it ends up being 100% local tax dollars. You don't get to bring any of your federal dollars back home. And when a person's discharged from jail, which they will, most of these are nonviolent offenses, and there's no medication available because her Medicaid's been cut off, there's no treatment dollars available because her Medicaid is cut off. So NACO's actually supporting an amendment that would keep Medicaid from being terminated until a person's found guilty. And you could have two like persons in two different scenarios committing the same minor offense. One person doesn't go to jail because they're out on a mental health bond or a peace bond or for whatever reason they don't go to jail. They get to keep their Medicaid. The other person who goes to jail loses their Medicaid. And I'm not sure what it costs the county for this, but I guarantee that probably over 20% of the people in your jail have severe mental illness. The most of those people are there for nonviolent offenses. The average mentally ill person in your county jail stays 2 to 3 times longer than a violent offender for two reasons. One, they don't know how to get bonded out. And two, if you have a severe mental illness, a judge is not going to have you back in their court until they're lucid. So they're kind of trapped in jail. And if they don't get the treatment when they do get out, they're going to be right back again. So, and there are other issues I'd be happy to talk to you about also.
Thank you for coming during this busy Christmas evening.
Well, you're welcome.
I have a question.
Member Rakowskis.
The Restoration Center, is that a physical building itself that houses these people during treatment?
It is. We're poor in Bexar County, very poor. In fact, Texas spends less money on mental health than Illinois, or they did before your downfall. Anyway, we're still pumping a little oil and gas. So you all spend a little bit less on mental health now. But we have two facilities. One's a crisis unit. And it's a 23-hour observation unit, so it's like an urgent care center. We train law enforcement officers in dispatch and 911 and advise family members and other folks to bring people with severe mental illness to that facility and not to jail or emergency rooms or put them back on the street. And during that 23-hour period, we assess them, then we get them to a proper place. Only about 20% need to go to an inpatient setting. Other folks go to crisis respite, short-term residential. Some folks will be homeless that are loitering or sleeping in door stoops or digging in trash cans or urinating in public. And when they're evaluated, they'll not be found blatantly psychotic or endanger themselves or others, but they don't want to go to jail. So we've arranged with the local shelter to have a separate distinct mental health unit there, where we try to endear ourselves to those folks and get them in treatment, and it's been fairly successful.
Do they come to this unit then for treatment? Is that the idea then?
They do for treatment assessment, then the quick disposition. So we have lots of step downs. Now the Restoration Center is actually a sobering and detox unit.
And how many beds are there?
We have 28 detox beds, and we can serve up to about 70 people a day in sobering.
And then the crisis unit, how many beds are there for the crisis?
There are 12 beds, and we're getting ready to expand it to 20 beds. But again, nobody stays longer than 23 hours.
And who funds this center then? Where does the money come for the center?
We have like 60 different sources of income. In fact, we've been so successful that we actually have people coming to us with money.
Private industry or?
Private industry, the state, adult probation, juvenile probation, the city and the county. Even though the city and county cut their own staff in programs, they give us, both of those give us additional $1 million this year. Hospital districts are overrun with these people. San Diego County just did a study and where they looked at 155 of their top, what they call frequent flyers, and this is a county study. And what they found was you would think the majority of that cost would be in jail or in the emergency rooms, is actually in the county hospital. The average severely mentally ill person dies 25 years sooner than you and I because they have poor health habits, they don't have access to primary health care, and but when they do die, they're very expensive, like $1 million, you know, patients. In fact, Malcolm Gladwell, the guy that wrote The Tipping Point, wrote a couple of articles for The New Yorker called Million Dollar Murray, and all these are unfunded people at the end of their lives, and they cost the taxpayers, you know, basically the taxpayers are picking up the bills. So in our case, the hospital district puts in a lot of money because we save them so much money. I don't know about your area, but most hospital emergency rooms are packed with people that shouldn't be there.
Are you saying the county hospital puts in money or private hospitals also?
Both. Both. Most emergency rooms are packed with inappropriate people, and there's a law called EMTALA, so they can't just summarily, you know, get rid of them. And what, I don't know if your hospitals are in drive-by, but ours are a lot. And we actually have a lot of community collaborations going on, and that's, you know, what the judge was talking about earlier, the collaboration here with everybody involved. And one of the collaborations is what is called a medical director's roundtable. So all these emergency room doctors, hospital administrators, EMS, and other people in the room, and we talk about how we can divert people from the emergency rooms and from hospitals inappropriately. The average person that goes to emergency room spends, it costs between, I think it's $1,800 and about $4,000. And if you have a mental illness, you get triaged to the back of the line because you have been in a car wreck. It's not a gunshot wound, no heart attack. And so these people stay a long time and don't get treated. Emergency room fills up. You get on drive-by. So if you're in a car wreck, you have to drive another 45 minutes or whatever to the next hospital. So it's very expensive. The American Hospital Association has several work groups working on this problem. They've come to visit our program several times, and I've been involved with several work groups. In fact, one here in Chicago recently. So, yeah, not treating these people, it costs the taxpayers lots of money everywhere. It also harms the health of the community.
Who initiated this program?
I did. I was the state director of the Texas Department of Mental Health and Mental Retardation before I took this job. And I became aware of the criminalization of the mentally ill and actually tried to pay to get people to work together and couldn't do it. You know, we developed community plans and everybody said, well, gee, that's a great idea, but not with my money or my staff. And so part of what we're going to talk about today is who's going to make us do this. And Mr. Chairman and the Commissioner's Court, the champion in our community was our county judge, which has your job, Mr. Chairman. And he basically brought the community together and said, we are going to address this problem, and insisted people get together and work together. And that's how we got started.
Are you considered a private organization or government organization? And the people that work, your staff, are they county employees or?
Yeah, no, in Texas, when they developed the community mental health system, a lot of the big states developed local taxing authorities. And Texas is very conservative, didn't want to do that. So the state decided if they're going to get some control up of their money, that they wanted some return, and what they want is some local investment. So in Texas, to be a sponsoring agency of a community mental health center, you have to be a local taxing authority. So you have to be a county, a hospital district, a school district, and or a city. And in Texas, we have 254 counties. All of those are county commissioners' courts, which is a similar body to your body. Their sponsoring agency. In our case, it's the county commissioner's court and the hospital district have joint sponsorship. Then we sign a contract with the state, so we're a political subdivision, and the county and the hospital district appoints my board, so I feel like I work for the county. And we're not state employees, we're not county employees, but we are a political subdivision. And our fringes and cost are a lot less than either one of those.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Member Gordon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to ask what website or two or three websites would be the best place for us to go to pick up further information.
Yeah. CHCSBC.
Say that again.
CHCSBC.
BC?
Center for Healthcare Services, Bexar County.
.org. Okay.
We've got a ton of information, and I'm also going to leave a lot of information with the work group.
Great.
You know, here.
Great. Thank you.
Including the medical economist studies.
Is there information on the NACO site as well?
Yes, Katie Guerra or Don Murray from NACO can get you information, get you a link to us.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. Evans? Not heard. Mr. Evans, thank you for making the trip to Central Illinois. We have a consent agenda. Are there any items to be removed from consent? Mr. Wendt?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I would like to move item B1.
Item 6B1 has been removed from the consent agenda. Are there any other items to be removed from consent? None heard. Is there a motion to pass consent? Motion Segoviano, second Kaisley, who obviously didn't get the memo himself. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you. I'd now like to ask Member Cavallini to the podium.
At this time, I'd like to invite the Lexington Minutemen football team up to the front, please. As they're working their way up here, I'd like to say that this has been an exciting time for the residents of Lexington, thanks to these fine young men who have provided a level of excitement that the town maybe hasn't seen for quite some time. Can we get everybody up here? Just keep coming up. I want everyone to see the Lexington team that provided a lot of entertainment for the Lexington fans and the residents of our town this year. And I want to take this opportunity, and I know that my colleague Stan Hazelton, also from Lexington, I'm sure felt the excitement and the thrill of having our team go all the way to state. It's quite an accomplishment. When my wife and I went to some football games this year, we picked up the little brochure that we received, and it has a little Lexington logo on it, and then it says Football Playoffs 2009. And what really caught my attention here was the little slogan, "Everywhere else it's just football, but this is Lexington Minutemen football." Now, I can tell you, having taught at the school for quite some time and living in Lexington for quite some time, unless you are in the town, you don't really fully comprehend that. And I was making the comment to Coach Castleman, I don't see many players with their unique hairdos, but that's also part of the Lexington spirit, these unique hairdos. I want to take this opportunity to thank you guys for providing the town and really the whole McLean County this year a really high level of play, and you guys speak well for the whole area. And with that thought in mind, I'd like to read this resolution of congratulations. Whereas the McLean County Board wishes to recognize the outstanding performance by the student athletes and the coaches of the Lexington High School varsity boys football team during the 2009 football season, and whereas the Lexington High School varsity boys football team finished the 2009 season with an overall record of 13 wins and one loss, and whereas the Lexington High School varsity boys football team finished as state runner-up in Illinois Class 1A High School Football Championship, and were also the undefeated Heart of Illinois Conference Football Champions, and whereas it is appropriate and fitting for the McLean County Board to recognize and congratulate head football coach Mike Castleman, assistant coaches Mark Frederick, Tyler Etter, Rick Castleman, Rick Barkus, Brian Tarter, and team members John Schuler, Jesse Kemp, TJ Stindy, Mike Emberton, Donovan Label, Chris Beard, Josh Jackson, Johnny Mainz, Paul Harrison, Connor Kelly, Jordan Elger, Jake Miller, Nick Burkus, Anthony Feit, Dylan Miller, Chris Collins, Alec Lawson, Jake Nichols, Kyle Taylor, Scott Collett, Weston Gresham, Brendan Berry, Corey Wilson, Kevin Bradford, Ryan Carmack, David Schleter, Ryan Bessler, Ian Thomas, and Tyler Vollmer. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the members of the McLean County Board that the student athletes and coaching staff of the Lexington High School varsity boys football team are to be congratulated on finishing as the state class 1A football championship runner-up, on winning the Heart of Illinois Conference football championship, and on outstanding season. Approved by the McLean County Board this 15th day of December 2009. Congratulations very much.
Ms. Cavallini, thank you very much. I want to thank the board for having us here today. As a social studies teacher, it's actually quite enjoyable sitting and watching government work. Actually, might give a little quiz when we get back some of the workings of government. This season is definitely a memorable season for obvious reasons, but it goes beyond just the wins. I think the gentlemen this year learned some valuable lessons, hopefully that they'll be able to take with them as they go into adulthood, probably the most important of which is how hard work pays off. And anything worth having is worth working hard for. These gentlemen have sacrificed a lot of time and effort to accomplish the goals that they have this year. And that's definitely a life skill that I think they can take into the job world as they graduate from high school and go on to college and beyond. Winning football games is, in some people's minds, is somewhat trivial. For us, it's very, very important because of the skills that we learn along the way of teamwork, of hard work, and of dedication. Even just looking around the room, I see obviously a lot of people who have supported us throughout the year, a lot of familiar faces that I know personally. And we do want to thank you for this resolution today and for recognizing us and for your continued support throughout the year. And we thank you very much. Mention that I saw Lexington play once this year. They pummeled the team they were playing, Tri-Valley at the time, but the which probably wasn't a surprise this year for these guys. But what I will mention is Mr. Wasson was at the game, our own Bill Wasson, and it was a fairly chilly night, and we were both in line for coffee and hot chocolate, and he was wearing shorts. Because apparently early in the season he had worn shorts, and the fans and whatnot decided that Bill in shorts was good luck. So I have on, he had a really cold season this year, didn't you, Bill? He may have been. I didn't catch that part. All right, thank you very much. We have reports of the Standing Committee's Executive Committee Vice Chairman Owens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Executive Committee brings two items for action. Items A1A is request approval of an ordinance establishing a holiday schedule for county employees for the year 2010, and I so move.
We have a motion, Owens. Second, Wohlrab. Questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Thank you. A1B is a request approval of an ordinance establishing county board meeting dates for the calendar year 2010, and I would so move.
We have a motion, Owens, second, Cavallini. Questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you.
Our general report and other minutes of the Bloomington Normal Airport Authority regular meeting can be found in our packets, pages 149 through 164.
Thank you. Are there any questions of Vice Chairman Owens of the Executive Committee? None seen. Land Use and Development Committee, Chairman Gordon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Land Use and Development Committee brings one item for action, item B1A, request approval of grant funding awards from the McLean County Solid Waste Management Fund as recommended by the McLean County Solid Waste Management Technical Committee found on pages 165, 166 in our packets, and I'll move that.
Motion Gordon, second Kaysley. Questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you.
Our general report can be found on pages 167 through 172.
Thank you. Are there any questions of Chairman Gordon of the Land Use and Development Committee? Unheard. Property Committee, Chairman Bostic.
I have two items this morning. 7C1A is a request approval of attachment number 19 to the amendment to the lease and operation and maintenance agreement for the Law and Justice Center through the County Administrator's Office. And I so move.
Motion Bostic, second. O'Connor, questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Pass it.
7C1B is the request approval of lease and contract extension agreement number 7, extending the lease of the county or the courthouse building and the contract for operation and maintenance, all dated December 3rd, 2002, through the county administrator's office. And I so move.
Motion Bostic, second. Ahart, questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
And our general report appears on page 175 through 179. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions of Chairman Bostic of the Property Committee? None heard. Transportation Committee, Chairman Hosselton.
We have one request, and that's approval of agreement between the City of Bloomington, Town of Normal, McLean County, and the Bloomington Normal Water Reclamation District and the Ecology Action Center for Stormwater Education Program Services. And I so move it.
We have a motion, Hosselton, second. Ahart, questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you.
Our general report can be found on pages 187 to 193.
Chairman Hosselton, you had item 6B1 pulled from consent also.
We request approval of the local agency for the federal participation in sections 01-001-01BT, the Route 66 bike trail, Shirley to Fox Creek Road. So moved.
We have a motion, Hosselton, second. Owens, questions, comments, or discussion? Member Wendt?
Comment. I'm going to vote against it, and that bike path is in my district, but just want to make out a point. I understand we have an intergovernmental agreement to do this, these bicycle trails and some of these other things. I think it might be time we should talk to the other governmental bodies about things that will be increasing our costs over the years. This particular bike path is going to increase some of our costs because we're going to have maintenance and security or patrols and so forth that would have to be entailed in this in the long run. Even though the federal government is, I understand, is paying most of the cost of this trail, we still have ongoing costs. It's just recently I had a chance to get for free a real nice Tennessee Walker horse. That's a better deal than what we're getting from the government here, because I guess we're going to pay for part of it. But my wife brought up the question, how much is that horse going to cost us over its life, and can we afford another horse? So sometimes when things are free, they're not always free. So I'm going to vote against it, and I think we should rethink some of the future projects that we have ongoing in view of the economic times. Thank you much.
Other questions, comments, or discussion? Member Rankin?
Thank you. I have no fantastic horse analogies, but I would like to also say this is in my district. This is an area of avid cyclists, and most of these cyclists find themselves on county roads. This is also an issue of safety. There is very little that's developed on that side of town that would be of use to families and other cyclists. I think certainly some of the comments that were made, obviously, yes, there will be some maintenance costs, though if you've been out there, the costs are fairly minimal at best. I know, if I'm not mistaken, there is no active policing or extra security measures that are going to be needed for this area. I think this is an excellent thing that will bring lots of happiness and lots of recreation abilities to the people, specifically in my district and McLean County as a whole. So I certainly will be voting for this.
Member Renner.
This is not in my district, but I do think, in addition to that, we did have some analysis about 5 or 6 years ago when we passed the first wave of about, I believe it was 50-some miles of bike trail, that the local communities like Lexington and Chinon and others were supportive of this because of some economic development benefits. So I think there, in addition to the safety and recreation issues, some economic development benefits in the long run that I would believe would is more than offset the marginal costs to us.
Yeah. Member Cavallini.
I'm reminded of a saying, don't knock a gift horse in the mouth. We probably couldn't be doing this if it wasn't for the federal participation. And I realize that, and I agree with Mr. Wendt, that there could be some costs that may occur. But I also feel that there's a lot of good that's going to come out of this bike trail. And Mr. Renner mentioned the bike trail around Lexington and Chenoa. And I know that many people use that trail locally, great way to get exercise and fresh air. There are benefits that you can't weigh the cost. And so I think that this is something that will be a positive for McLean County as a whole.
Member Wilram.
Thank you. I also agree with Member Cavallini and the benefits. This is not in my district, by the way. Recently, we did approve a comprehensive plan that addresses these types of items, and there was a Greenways conference that some of us attended where we heard about plans for a regional wide bike trail system that's already been partially constructed, and this would just add to that and bring more economic interest and diversity to our whole area. Thank you.
Member Casely.
This is a rather unique opportunity that we have to get a bike trail for very little money because we have the abandoned right-of-way of Old Route 66, and that provides a great place, a right-of-way from Livingston County line to Logan County line for a bike trail, and this is but one section of it. It is pursuant to an agreement that we have with all of the municipalities up and down the corridor from Chenoa to McLean, and it's consistent with that.
Member Soldner.
Yes, I was also going to agree with Mr. Casely. There is an intergovernmental agreement now in effect dealing with the City of Bloomington, the Town of Normal, and the municipalities on that trail. I also believe that there's enough interest in the bike enthusiasts and some of the bike groups that be willing, I'm sure, to do some fundraising for minor items. So I think it's a good deal, and I'm in support of it.
Other questions, comments, or discussion? Member Sigabiano.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, we hear about where is this lying, what district? Well, this bike trail lies in the district of the taxpayers of McLean County. And I think Mr. Wendt should be commended for his attention to how we spend taxpayers' money. I want to vote for the resolution, but this is an opportunity really that should go back a few months when we start putting together the budget. Just a moment ago, we adopted the maintenance budget for the courthouse, about $176,000. Those are items I think, that's going to come up for future discussion, just as this one. So how do we spend taxpayers' dollars really starts with the budgeting process, as what do we have in the budget, and what are we going to look at as, tax dollars become less and less. So I think Mr. Wynn is very proper in bringing this to our attention, although I said I'm going to vote for it. But these are the items that we need to look for in the future as we want to continue to provide vital services to the citizens of McLean County as we spend their tax dollars.
Other questions come. Member Knuckles.
Yes, I'm going to take that same approach, actually, Mr. Chairman, with Member Sigabiano and also with Member Rent. I will fully support this. In fact, I'm in favor of it. However, just piggybacking on Member Sigabiano, something we need to sincerely look at during budget time, be cognizant of it, just because it's something we've done before, because of the tough economic periods, something we may need to redress.
Member Wendt.
The thing that I've been looking at, the county population has increased by about 150% in the last 20 years. The number of employees in the county has increased 100%. So while our population went up by 50%, the amount of people working for the county went up by 100%. And this bike path maybe is just a small indication, but this is how the government grows. We get more things to maintain, and then pretty soon we can't cut our budget because we have these things to maintain that we've put on the books. Even though we're getting them almost free, like I said, I had a chance to get a nice Tennessee Walker for free, but the upkeep on it was something that derailed it. And I've kind of done a little study, and I know we've been very proud. We just passed a levy that on a $160,000 house, we show that the taxpayer will get $1.42 less in taxes. Well, I found in Bloomington Township a house that's valued at $166,500. That particular individual is not going to pay $1.42 less next year because his value of his house went up. He didn't do any improvements, but because of the system, the way it works, he's actually going to get a 4.99% increase in his taxes. So as we add things to the county, yes, the bike path's nice for the people that like to ride bikes. I happen to like to ride horses, so maybe we ought to have a horse path. But I don't think we can ride the horses on the constitutional trail is what I understand. I know the city of Bloomington and the city of Normal have had to have special police officers with bicycles and stuff to patrol the constitutional trail because they've been having problems on it. So we do have these maintenance and ongoing costs on things. It's not that I wouldn't like to have a bike path in our district, assuming we will have. And the other thing is to getting things for almost nothing always looks good until you have to start fixing them up and taking care of them over the long haul. So that's just my comments, and I obviously will be voting no on it. Thank you much.
Member Rutkauskas.
I understand Mr. Wendt's concerns, but I've always been more into the preventive aspect. Right now, we're going to be spending a lot of money within our school systems that are very short on money with health issues, obesity issues, et cetera. This is a preventive measure. It's a family entertainment that doesn't cost. It's extremely good for the health. It's a sport that can be used by all ages. So I think in the long run, we will be saving the taxpayers' money when it comes to either health insurance, more money of education within the school systems, et cetera. So it's a link between communities, just as we have a common language in our country that links us together. A bike trail like this links people from community to community within our county, and I think it's very important.
Other questions, comments, or discussion? Member Butler.
Well, I agree with Member Wendt that money that appears to come from Washington has really just coming back to us. We've sent it there. And that as we take this money, this is replicated through every county in the country, probably. Everybody wants a bike path. And so as everybody takes the money from the government, they're going to just come and ask us for more. And there is ongoing maintenance, and I don't know what the maintenance is. I've looked at this. I can't tell exactly what this bike path is going to cost. How much money is the federal government putting in? How much are they asking us to put in? We just passed an ordinance that was a mandate that we have to pay that came from Washington on this emergency water education. I don't know. I don't even know exactly what we're going to get educated about, but we're going to spend money. And somewhere we got to start drawing the line. The federal government really has no money today. And the day will come when they will not be able to get more money without, they've already devalued our money severely. So somewhere along the line, we kind of have to say, well, we'd like to have a bike path. Well, why can't we pay for that with local money? Why can't the people that ride bikes, and I'm one of those crazy bikers that rides bicycles, and I like the bike path, but it costs money. We got the right-of-way, which is the big piece, so now all we have to do is lay down a path of asphalt. And how much can that cost when you got the right-of-way in hand? So I think I'm going to vote no on this on the principle that we just cannot keep taking money from Washington that appears to be free because it is our money. We've sent it there. And I know if we don't take it, somebody else will get it. Well, somebody else, that's their problem. So that's the way I feel about it. And it's difficult. I mean, it's nice to be nice to have a bike path down to Shirley. I don't know. Is there a restaurant in Shirley? I don't even know. Okay. All right.
Member Owens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will be supporting this. I look at it in the aspect, and there's two areas. Looking at an area as of in transportation. Someone may live in Towanda that works in Lexington that they, if it's a nice day, they may want to take their bike instead of driving their car, and that's emissions of fuel. And I know people are out there that look at that aspect as well. I know DuPage County that they've, being more in the city, though, but the county has basically has a bike path addressing the transportation issue of it and looking at that portion. But I also look at it, very importantly, is it's we're keeping a piece of history and working and keeping that there, and to me the historical value on that is very, very big. That we know that that area there is one of the is the original Route 66, and knowing to keep that is very exciting. So again, I look at from those two points of view, and I will be supporting it.
Other questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Noted. Well, Mr. Hosselton, I hope you're proud of yourself. Anything else for us, Chairman Hosselton? I hesitate to ask, are there any questions of Chairman Hosselton of the Transportation Committee? Heard. Finance Committee, Chairman Owens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Finance Committee brings several items for action. Items E1A is request approval of an ordinance of the McLean County Board amending the 2009 Combined Appropriations and Budget Ordinance for Fund 0102. This is the dental services through the Health Department, and I would so move.
We have a motion, Owens, second, Renner. Questions, comments, or discussion? Noted. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. One abstention.
Thank you. I will group items E1, B, and C together. They both have to do with the vision and hearing fund 0105 through the Health Department. Item B is for the amending of the Combined Appropriations and Budget Ordinance, and item C is amending the fiscal year 2009 full-time equivalent position associated with that, and I would so move.
Motion, Owen, second. Cavallini, questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Thank you. E1D is a request approval of resolution of the McLean County Board approving the general compensation plan for non-union employees and position classifications and pay ranges for fiscal year 2010 through the County Administrator's Office, and I would so move.
Motion Owens, second. Gordon, questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you.
Thank you. E1E is a request approval of an ordinance of the McLean County Board amending Chapter 10 of the McLean County Code to suspend merit increases for non-union employees. This is through County Administration. I would so move.
We have a motion, Owen, second, Rakowskis. Questions, comments, or discussion? Member Kaisley.
I think that we need to commend our employees for the work that they do for us. I think that we have a very good group of people who work for the county, and I think it's regrettable that we have to come to this, but I agree that it is necessary in times of economic distress to adopt this, and while I regret doing it, I think that it's necessary.
Excellent point. Thank you. Other questions, comments, or discussion? Member Cavallini.
I'm assuming that this is a temporary suspension until we achieve better economic climate.
I think we put it in as permanent, but we assume it's through the 2010 budget year.
That is.
It's in through 2010.
It corresponds to the fiscal year.
It corresponds only?
Yeah.
Okay. 2010 fiscal year.
Okay.
Questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Thank you. E1F is request approval of a position classifications and pay ranges for fiscal year 2010 through county administration. I would so move.
Motion Owens, second McIntyre. Questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Thank you. Thank you. Our general report can be found on pages 213 through 227.
Are there any questions of Chairman Owens of the Finance Committee? Thank you very much. Justice Committee, Chairman Renner.
The Justice Committee brings three items for action. Item F1A is request approval of an emergency appropriation ordinance amending the McLean County fiscal year 2010 combined annual appropriation and budget ordinance in the general fund in court services, and that's in order to accommodate the receipt of the redeploy grant, and I so move that.
Motion Renner, second. Ahart, questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you.
And item F1B is request approval of a contract between McLean County Board, McLean County Sheriff, and Heartland Community College to provide GED preparation courses at the McLean County Detention Facility, and I so move that.
Motion Renner, second. Rakowskis, questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you.
And our last item is F1C is request approval of an agreement between McLean County Clerk of the Circuit Court and the Government Payment Services Incorporated for the purpose of processing payments by credit or debit card for fines, costs, and child support in the Circuit Clerk's office, and I so move that.
Motion Renner, second. McIntyre, questions, comments, or discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you.
And our general report is found on pages 242 to 257.
Are there any questions of Chairman Renner of the Justice Committee? Thank you very much. Report of the County Administrator, Mr. Lindbergh.
Mr. Chairman, I have one item I'd like to bring to the attention of the Board today.
It's so seldom I do this. But one item I'd like to bring to the attention of the Board today. Yesterday, the County received for the 24th year in a row the Certificate of Achievement for Excellence in Financial Reporting from the Government Finance Officers Association of the United States and Canada. This is the highest award, the highest form of recognition in the area of governmental accounting and financial reporting, and it represents a significant accomplishment on the part of our financial management team. And I'd like to take a minute to ask Treasurer Becky McNeil and Auditor Michelle Anderson to come forward and recognize them for their part in this activity.
There you go.
I'm supposed to read these.
You can if you wish.
Now let's see here. A certificate of the Government Finance Officers Association of the United States and Canada. The Award of Financial Reporting Achievement presented to Michelle Anderson, Financial Reporting Specialist, McLean County, Illinois, now County Auditor. Congratulations, Michelle. Oh, wow, this one is really different. Presented to Rebecca McNeil, County Treasurer. Any questions for the County Administrator's Office? Other business or communications come before the McLean County Board. Member Segoviano.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This morning as I rode up on the elevator with Judge Rob and he had the
microphone, please.
Can't hear me?
Oh. Rode up with Judge Robb, and she introduced me to Mr. Evans and as one of a longtime board members, and once again, I was dated about my services on the board. But during those years of service on the board, I've certainly had an opportunity to serve with a bunch of wonderful department heads, both elected and appointed. And the same thing with the county board. There's been a lot of good people come and go. In fact, Mr. Butler, you remind me of a good friend, Bill Lawrence, who absolutely hated grants, because what you stated, and Bill, you say in 25 words or less, you know, and he'd say no. But getting back to the people I've had the opportunity to serve with on the board, and, you know, also there's been a lot of good programs presented here in McLean County that we can avail ourselves to. And one that I really enjoyed was called the Living Christmas Tree during the holiday season. And we have a member of our board who I think certainly depicts a living Christmas tree. And I certainly have the privilege and the pleasure of reminding him of that all the time. But as you see here today, there are, you know, ties that are displayed. And that was in honor of a gentleman who served us in the judicial system and now as an elected member of the county board. And certainly a man of wisdom, a man of strength, and a man of great knowledge. And he shares that with us. And I said to him today, you know, life moves on for you. And he said, yeah, he has one of these every year, his birthday. And he soon approach and appreciate his 70th birthday. And so I would ask everybody in this room to join with me in singing happy birthday to Judge Casely. Judge Casely. So all together now. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Judge Casely. Happy birthday to you.
Well, thank you very much. That's more than I ever got from the defendants that appeared in my court on my
day. Very good. Any other business or communication to come before the McLean County Board? I have to tell you, I was sweating a little bit. We've got a little holiday cake set up back here for guests and attendees and the board members. I was a little nervous with the Lexington football team in the room. I told them not to bring the cake out while those animals were still in. No, I'm teasing. But while those very husky young men were still around. Anyways, we do have bills to pay. We have bills totaling $4,508,880.49. Motion Cavallini, second Owens, to pay the bills as presented. Questions, comments, or discussion? None heard. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you. We are adjourned until January 19th, 2010.